Chapter 6 Mr. Utterson's Promise. Mr. Utterson was invited to Henry Jekyll's for dinner a few days later. This was a good piece of luck, in view of his determination to help the doctor. There were five other old friends present, and the conversation was lively and intelligent, with appreciation for Jekyll's excellent food and wine. When the others had gone, Mr. Utterson stayed behind. This had become a habit with himself and Jekyll after such dinners. It was pleasant to sit by the fire, chatting about the evening in a quiet way after the previous gaiety. Tonight, Utterson studied Henry Jekyll carefully, but saw no change in the man he had known for years. Dr. Jekyll, though he had been close friends with Utterson and Lanyon at school, was younger than they, for he had been a prodigy, very advanced in his studies. Even now, the large, well-made, smooth-faced Jekyll looked much younger than his 50 years. His expression was kindly, with perhaps a slight suggestion of slyness. But now his face bore only a look of contentment and affection as he poured Mr. Utterson another glass of wine, and they relaxed in comfortable chairs. Mr. Utterson cleared his throat.
"I have been wanting to speak with you, Jekyll.
You know that will of yours?"
A tiny frown tugged at the doctor's smooth face, but he answered with humor,
"My dear Utterson, you are unfortunate to have such a client as myself. I never saw anyone as distressed by a will as you are by mine." "No, I take that back. I have seen Lanyon more distressed by my own scientific ideas, ideas which he calls my scientific heresies, my disagreement with accepted ideas. Now, don't frown. I know he's a good fellow, but he's also the most ignorant, stubborn man I've ever known. I have never been more disappointed in a man than I am in Lanyon." Utterson refused to be switched over to this new topic.
"You know, Jekyll, I never approved of your will. I said so from the first."
"Yes, certainly I know that," said Jekyll, a trifle sharply. "You keep saying so."
"And I must say so again," said the lawyer, "because I have heard something abominable about young Hyde."
The large, handsome face of Jekyll grew pale to the very lips, and a blackness came about his eyes.
"I don't wish to hear any more on this topic," he said, firmly and coldly.
"But," began Utterson.
"No. Whatever you have heard can make no difference."
Jekyll spoke rapidly and angrily.
"My position is very strong, and it cannot be changed by talk. So enough of this."
"I want to help you," Utterson answered, slowly and calmly.
"You know I am to be trusted.
Tell me in confidence, and I have no doubt but that I can rescue you."
With an effort, Jekyll regained his composure. "My dear friend, that is very good of you. I would trust you of all men, yes, even before myself, if I could make that choice. But the situation is not what you imagine. Nothing so bad, in fact. But it is a private matter. To set your mind at ease, I will say one thing. At any moment I choose, I can be rid of Mr. Hyde. I give you my word on that. But thank you again and again."
Utterson sighed.
"No doubt you know best," he said as he rose. "And now it is getting late, and I must be getting home."
By raising his hand, Jekyll made him pause.
"Just one more thing before we put this topic from us forever," said Jekyll. "I have a great interest in poor Hyde. He told me you had seen him, and I fear he was rude. But, old friend, will you promise me something?"
"What?"
"If I am taken away, will you defend his rights for him, in spite of his manner, and see that he gets all I wish him to have? I think you would if you knew everything."
"I can't pretend that I shall ever like him," said the lawyer.
"I don't ask that," pleaded Jekyll, putting his hand on Utterson's arm. "I only ask for justice. I only ask you to help him for my sake, when I am no longer here."
Utterson nodded his head. but his face was terribly sad.
"Very well, Jekyll," he said. "I promise."